And welcome to Are You Game, a gaming podcast about games on the tabletop, on the tablet, and on the television, which is our way of talking about games on both video consoles and on PC. I'm your host, Lindsay, and I'm joined around the table by...
Hello, I'm Sean.
And hello, my name's James. And so, let's kick off today's episode with my question of today.
Okay.
So, guys, what do you think is the funniest game you've ever played? Lindsay, what do you think? What's the funniest game you've ever played?
So when you asked us to think about this question here, so we're launching with the question here, funniest game, and it could be either tabletop, tablet, or video
whatever
game,
you
right?
Like.
Whatever you like. It's hard to think of like a funniest one. So I'm going to go with, oh, can I do more than one? Or do I have to stick
you,
to
yeah,
just
go, you go always do one. About go, three go, or four, do don't you?
Do it.
So I'm going to start with like, I'm going to take board games are a good example of some board games, which are really funny, but they're especially funny depending on the group of people you're with, because
exactly,
you can have
yeah.
them that they are not that funny. But one, which if you're a group of people that is sort of funny, even that you can have a bit of a laugh, you'll end up laughing a lot, is called Cash and Guns. Okay. So that's a more
Why
recent board
games
game. I think
always have this weird title. Like, I mean, we've got Cash and Guns,
yeah.
right?
Secret Hitler was good for a lot that's of true. Laughs, but in a different way. Cash and Guns is more overtly just funny. So Cash and Guns in the box, what's really funny is part of it is these little foam, these foam like revolvers. And so what happens is you're all supposed to be thieves after a heist, and you've got to split up the loot of the heist. But what happens is that it's at the table that everyone's splitting up the loot, and suddenly everyone pulls their guns and points at someone else. So you have this kind of John Woo, Quentin Tarantino showdown, you know, where everyone is pointing a gun at someone else's head.
I believe it's known as.
Exactly. Yes, that kind of thing. So each round is basically a Mexican standoff, and you have to decide whether or not you are going to put your gun down or you're going to kind of bluff it out to see if the person actually shoots you or not to get the treasure. So if you put your gun down, you don't get access to the loot. If you kind of stay standing, the other person may be bluffing and have a blank in the gun, or they may have a real bullet, in which case you get wounded, and you can only get wounded, I think, two or three times. So it goes in a series of rounds like that. But the most hilarious thing is you are faced. So basically, imagine that a Mexican standoff happening like eight times with your friends.
Yeah,
you know, through eight rounds of a game. And if that kind of thing would make you and your friends laugh, then that would be one of the funniest games. It is for me. Anyway, I'll stop there. I might have more in a minute.
So the comedy comes from the kind of interaction that you have with each other, like your kind of the banter,
yes.
for want of a better
yes.
word.
Yes, you're put in a funny situation, and this is with so many board games, I think, this kind of idea. You're put in a funny or a semi-ridiculous situation, and that's what's going to create the humor. In the same way, like, you know, wearing party hats or charades or that kind of a thing, and that creates the humor from that.
Okay. All right, sounds good. Okay, Sean, I know you struggled a bit with this question, but go on.
Oh, I've struggled to go completely. I've had an existential crisis on this. I feel kind of there's almost... I feel like I've become sort of like Sheldon from Big Bang, and it's a series. You don't play games for fun. I genuinely can't. I can't. You know, games are there to be, you know, endured and gone through. And I play those kind of games. I mean, that's the kind of games I play. You know,
sounds painful.
You know, strategy. No. But I play. It's like funny games. Where are we coming from? And I think what Lindsay said at the beginning, for me, is actually what makes game. If I'm playing a board game or something of that ilk, it's the company that I'm in. I think actually in episode one we were talking about games, and for me, funny moments of what happen in games are the thing that I remember, not the games. So in episode one I talked about, you know, my friend taking a hat trick on cricket on Boxing Day morning. That, I mean, for me, that was one of the funniest things that ever happened. When I was when Trivial Pursuit first came out, one of my friends mispronounced Rodin's The Thinker as Rodding the Tinker. And those kind of things for me are the things that make funny things. And, you know, so I know the game you originally asked, what is the funniest game you've ever played? I don't know, but I could sit here for hours talking about funny moments in my life caused by gameplay with it. So yeah, no, I'm going to be rather dull. And say, I don't know, but it's the company that makes the fun. How's that?
Okay.
Well, that means that I can. That means I get another one.
Yeah, go on. And you can tell my second.
Well, what about
it?
Me? Hold on, I haven't done mine yet.
All right. Oh yeah, James. All what right, you got?
Okay, well, you go for it, James.
The thing that inspired this question was there was an article in The Guardian, which we'll share on our social media, on our Facebook and Twitter, about the funniest games ever. And I was looking at it, and I thought, yeah, there's a lot there that I thought were funny. I mean, they mention Parappa the Rapper, which was really funny when I played on my PS2, which was really good, very witty. Okay. I mean, and just
one of those games was Lemmings, I like Lemmings. I love Lemmings. I've always played Lemmings, but I've never found it funny because it's like, oh no, I've got it wrong. I haven't solved the problem.
I think this is teaching. This is, we're learning a lot more about you, Sean, than we are about games here.
Parappa the Rapper. No, I've never played seen Parappa this one the before.
Seminal,
anyway.
Seminal game where you had I have to be like a. I can't remember what kind of animal he was. What was he? He was a. Hold on. Let me just check. I've got to find out. He was.
You know what?
He was a dog. He was a dog.
I've known you two quite a while, but it's amazing how much I learn about you every time.
He was a rapping animated dog, and you had to push the buttons in the right order to make him rap. And it was a genius game. There was a lesson where he rapped with a martial arts instructor who had the head of an onion, and he's rapping. It's genius. Anyway.
Oh
so
my
good.
God. All right.
Anyway,
okay.
And
okay,
they also mentioned what the game I'm playing most at the moment, which is Hitman, which is really funny. I don't know how anyone doesn't think that's a funny game. That's a really funny game. Like there's so many.
I was looking at that. I was thinking, is it? And then I thought, actually,
it's
it is. There
witty.
Are so many times when it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, and there's
funny.
Loads of like yeah. little missions and challenges that you have to do, which are like deliberately ridiculous. Like I've just been redoing the mission in Bangkok. And there's a particular challenge where you have to be dressed up as an exterminator, and then you have to go into a recording studio and go and play La Cucaracha on a keyboard. I mean, it's totally ridiculous.
I'll tell the point. That's ridiculous. Speaking of Hitman, Lindsay, didn't you? Have you? Could be, I think I've convinced you or turned you into the mobile app on that, haven't I?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm deep in that. I'm deep. I'm really deep in that. Let's come back to that when we talk about what we're bringing.
But
I haven't yet
told you, which is for me. And it's not a very unpredictable selection, but it's undoubtedly the funniest game I've ever played, which is GTA 5. I mean, that game is hilarious, and my.
Oh really? Yeah, okay. I've been hesitating on pulling the trigger on that because I'm just not quite sure about playing a GTA game. I've never been sure if I would like it or not.
I mean, there's a lot to say about it, but I'll just focus particularly, you know, on the humor aspect.
On the
and
funny
there are
parts,
lots of,
yeah.
You know, sort of lots of the dialogue in it is very, very well written. I honestly think it's one of the most well written video games I've ever played. It's really, the dialogue is really cracking. But the thing that really I always think about with humor is the fact that when you're driving around and you're listening to the radio, all the DJs, especially on like the talk radio stations and all the adverts and everything, they're just like really good comedy sketches. And so you can just drive around and the radio is hilarious. And it's that attention to detail in that game that is the reason why it's so genius. And it's really funny. I think GTA 5 is very, very good. So I think that gets sort of forgotten about often is the quality of the writing in that game. So because there are so many other amazing things about it, understandably. So, but yeah, I'd say the funniest game I've ever played is GTA 5. So there you go.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm going to take another run at this then, because I talked about board games, but if we were talking about video games, I'd have to say that probably one of the funniest ones, and I looked at that list as well. And so I would concur with them on what their number one is, because I do think it was brilliant and very, very witty. And that's Portal 2.
It's very funny.
Much more than Portal 1. Portal 1 was funny in a dry Valve humor way. But Portal 2 had Wheatley, the little robot helper who's the voice of one of the guys, Stephen Merchant. And it's just so funny. It's so brilliant. Yeah. And there's so many. And also in that list, because this was the one that I originally came up with before thinking of board games, but was the Stanley Parable, which is also kind of done with the Half-Life engine. So there's something about that kind of whole area of game playing. So have you played that? Have either of you played the Stanley Parable?
No, I haven't.
I think that's very funny. I mean, very well written and everything. Not for a long time. I mean, I found it wore its welcome out after around the first, you know, 3 or 4 hours. I was like, okay, I'm done. But I thought that was very funny as well in terms of, like, you know, breaking the fourth wall and deconstructing video games in general, you know. Yeah, so good.
Okay, Sean, did we inspire you? Did anything come to mind?
So what I've come to conclusion is I am very dull because I don't like either GTA games and I don't like rubber guns. I have foam guns. So I shall go back to gaming with a new perspective and try and find something funny for a future episode.
Okay. All right. Great. All right. Let's take a little break.
Sounds good.
And we'll come back and talk about our what we've been playing after the break. Okay. If you want to get in touch with us, you can find us at Are You Game Pod on Twitter and Are You Game Podcast on Facebook.
Okay, we're back. So in this part of the podcast, we all talk about what we're currently playing. So James, what's on your tablet, television or table at the moment?
Okay, so I'm going to talk about a game that I've probably played more than any other game in the last 3 or 4 years. It's become sort of like a daily part of my life.
Wow, okay.
To the point where it's almost like, you know, I sort of stopped thinking about playing the game. And it's just like a thing I do, like, check my email.
I think I've got one like that as well. Or it doesn't even feel like a game anymore. It's like, it's just
yeah,
life.
It's just part of my daily routine. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So the game is on my, I play on my, mostly on my iPad, which is The Simpsons Tapped Out.
Seriously? That's still going strong then?
It's
said Lindsay with a note of surprise.
Do you know, I don't know. It's fairly, well, hasn't. So it's been a while since I read this, but I heard it was like one of the highest generating apps on in the world. I mean, it was just like generating millions every year in app purchases, but not from me. So it's a freemium game where you basically have to build your Springfield, and so you unlock the characters and you unlock different buildings, and then you have the in-game currency. So one of them is the free currency, which you collect from tapping the buildings, hence the name Tapped Out, and sending the characters on tasks.
Okay.
And then the other in-game currency, which is donuts, is the premium currency, which you can collect a little bit of by doing different tasks.
Okay.
But, you know, if you that's a lot of work. And so, of course, if you want to speed that up, then you buy them. Oh, I'm sure there are other nefarious means, but I wouldn't know about that kind of thing.
So it's
a game that you know, it relies on you playing it every single day in order to do it at least once a day, because they have special events.
Okay.
And so during those events you have to send your characters on 3 or 4 hour missions, go back, send them, you know, and you have to do it regularly or else you're not going to unlock the prizes.
Is it kind of a real time? So you sort of tap it in the morning and send them off on a mission, and they come back in 3 or 4 hours. Is that how it works?
Exactly. Yeah. So you have to sort of like fit it around your life. You know, you wake up in the morning, send them on the missions. You know, sort of trying to time it. You know, if you have an 8-hour mission, you try and do that before you go to sleep at night, so that when you wake up in the morning, you know.
I've heard of it, but I've never played it. So is it a bit like Civilization in the sense of what you're building, or is it?
Well, I imagine it's a more sort of simplified. I haven't played Civilization, but I imagine a more sort of simplified version. Although it can get in the events, you know, you get sort of different currencies for each event that are related to that.
Right.
And, you know, there were like two or three happening at the same time, and you have to sort of build it up. I mean, and I've been playing this game now for, I think, for 3.5 years.
Wow.
And so my Springfield is really big.
It's great.
And I've got like about 150 playable characters that I've...
is there an end?
140, 150.
I mean, I know there are an event. I know you said there are like special events and stuff, but is there an end?
Can you
complete Springfield?
Absolutely not. No, no. And then, you know, the event ends and then you have to try and finish everything before the event finishes. And then the next event, you know, there's a little break and then the next event comes
on. Right.
So it used to be done by levels. Like you would, as you went up the levels, you would unlock more stuff. But then I think what they realized after a while was that that was going to be kind of difficult for them to sustain over the years. This is EA who run this game. And so I think that what they've done is they've moved to an events-based thing. So if you miss the event, then you've missed it. It's gone.
Right.
You can't get those buildings. You can't get those characters and decorations and things like this. So
it reminds me of reminds me of one that I've started recently that is beginning to take over my life. It's not the one I'm bringing to the table, but I'm interrupting with this one here, which is a similar one, new one, an MMO, so massively multiplayer online one, but it's on the tablet, and it's called Hades Star, and it's a space one, but it's the same thing. Like I log in the morning, send my little miners out to mine hydrogen in the galaxy, colonize a planet, check in on the planet. Is it colonized? Okay. Then update my tech tree, trade between my planets, you know, send my little transport ships to trade things between the planets, and then go and colonize another one, go and visit another star and fight against some kind of enemy ships there. It's really, really good. It's really, but you're right. I already, after just playing it, and I was on a long trip recently, so I was playing it on an airplane. It doesn't feel like playing a game. It feels like, like checking the emails. You're just kind of like, I got to do the stuff in the game. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Like and it has that real addictive sort of property where you feel like that fear of missing out thing of like going, if I don't do this, I'm going to miss out on these buildings and then they're gone. I'm not going to get them, you know, and everything. But there's an update though, which I have to add, which is for the first time in 3.5 years, I at this moment have not opened the app now for nearly a month.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm actually talking about a game that I've stopped playing.
But, okay.
So what? Yeah. So,
but this is what I'm talking about.
My question was what you're bringing to the table.
Yes, what I'm not bringing to. What I'm bringing to the table is an attempt to reclaim my life. Is what I'm trying, and that's why I thought. And this is what sort of interests me about it as well is that if there's a game where you sort of really sort of become so dedicated to it over such a long period of time, that removing yourself from it becomes really, really hard, you know, because it's that real fear of like,
you're desperate to open it again.
No, I'm not, but I haven't deleted the app.
So have you deleted it? That's the next step.
Yeah.
No. And if I do delete it, I won't lose everything because I'll just log back in again and everything will come back. But I'm just sort of,
And it's interesting because games kind of like this, sometimes I speak to people about, you know, my gaming habits where I'm at a point now where I'll say, I'm a gamer. I play video games or I love games and stuff like that. And people are like, oh no, I don't understand. I don't know. But then you find out that they are in fact doing something like playing Simpsons Tapped Out or Candy Crush or something like that. But it has ceased to be a game for them. So it is just like, you know, it's, as you said, it's like checking your emails or combing your hair or, you know, it's sort of like, like you just instinctively reach for and do it. And yet these people would say, I hate video games. I never play video games, but Candy Crush is different or whatever.
I need to play this big portion to my partner who thinks I'm nuts because I get up in the morning and make myself a coffee and then I sit down. And for me, it's Clash of Clans.
All right, okay.
And then I have to go and, go on Clash of Clans first off and see what the clan's doing, where we are with it. You know, she looks at me like, is that really what you need to do first thing in the morning?
And the answer is absolutely yes. Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you got something better to suggest? catch up with what's going on in the world? Not right now, thanks.
So Lindsay, what are you bringing to the table?
Okay, well, I'm gonna talk about a game that I played, and I'm looking forward to playing it again shortly with some friends. And I played it recently, a couple of times over the summer, and I saw it. I was on a trip recently, and I saw some people playing it, and that's why I wanted to bring it to the table because it is such a good game. It's a board game, And it's a board game called Betrayal at House on the Hill. Have either of you heard of this one?
No.
Betrayal at House on the Hill, James? No, I don't expect you have. No. Okay, so Betrayal at House on the Hill, you are a group of like adventurers, and each of you have a character and kind of like from Lovecraftian world. So like, you know, there's a little girl or an explorer man, you know, or that kind of a thing. And you are exploring this haunted house. And so it's a bit like Carcassonne in the sense that you're laying down tiles and the house is getting bigger as you lay down tiles, right? So you lay down a tile and like, this is a room. So this attaches to this part of the room or the hall. You know, you start with the hall, you're all in the hall, and then you're going to go to rooms. And in rooms, you will encounter objects or you'll encounter things that happen. And there's this sort of mechanic where there's a kind of timer thing ticking down. And so like it'll go, I can't remember what it's called, like curses or something like that. Like there's a scale, it's getting higher and higher. And you have to roll dice and sort of deal with what you find in the room via cards and stuff like that until the horror scale or whatever that scale I was talking about reaches a certain number. And I think it's like if you fail a dice roll, so like, let's say it starts at one, you have to roll three dice, and if you beat a one, then fine. But then it's going to go up to two and three and four. And so the more you adventure through the house all together as a team, because you're a collaborative team.
Game, yeah.
Until that thing suddenly hits the key number. I don't know if it's 8 or 14, but whoever fails the dice roll that makes it hit that number becomes haunted, and then they have a special booklet, so they have to leave the room and open to a certain page that the game tells them to, where they have been haunted in one way or another. So for example, when we played, we were all playing together, and we played a few games, and the haunting was somebody suddenly became a zombie and was then commanding a whole horde of zombies that's fighting everyone else. So the game suddenly changes like halfway through one of the people in the team. It's always going to be random. You never know. You never can guess who's going to be suddenly will become haunted by the house and betray the rest of the team. And then the rest of the team, the rest of your group has to escape the house or kill you. And you have to kill everyone or steal their stuff depending on what the haunting is. So one particularly hilarious example was we were playing and we hadn't kind of figured out this haunting thing, or we were sort of like really into the collaborative stuff. And I was like, okay, guys, I'm getting the good loot. So make sure you give me the good sword and the good shield and the good spear and all this stuff. And so I had all the best stuff. So I was kind of like the tank, you know, I was the one going into the room first and soaking up the damage. And I got to be haunted. But the haunting was I got to keep all the gear and become invisible. So I was moving around the board without them seeing who I was and invincible. So, and they had to escape. But then everyone was like, we just gave the invisible, invincible guy all the best weapons, all the best armor. Like there's, you know, he's just, and so basically I killed all my teammates at the end. It was an amazing game.
I thought it was a collaborative game.
It is, until one person becomes haunted and then they turn against everyone else.
Right, I got it.
So
I got
there
it,
are
it,
like,
so can it. So can someone become like unhaunted?
No.
Or is
no.
that it? Once you're haunted, you're haunted.
I don't know. Well, there's so many different hauntings because the Trader's Book has like around 35 or 40 different things that you can be, right? So depending on the card that you draw or a combination of cards and room that you're in, you will become haunted in one way or another. So we only played a few times. So there was like me, the invisible flying, you know, murderer. There was someone who was controlling zombies. I think there's something else where someone becomes a witch at the bottom, like of the house, but you have to go and get something from her and then escape. Or so you'll have like everyone else will have a certain objective, either escape or kill you or do something. And your objective is to stop them doing that. But what's really great is that you've been playing up until that point, everyone together and working together. But once you play the second game, you know now that one person in the group is gonna turn. And so that's the attraction of it.
I guess that must impact on the collaboration the second time around.
Well, it didn't just goes to show that it didn't, because it was the second time around that everyone was giving me the good stuff. Because I think they just assumed that I would avoid, you know, that you wouldn't put me in a situation where I could turn. But it happened anyway. So, all right.
Sounds good.
I'll tell you what I'll bring it to the table, but am I allowed to do two digressions first, just based on what Lindsay just said? It reminded me of two things.
Okay.
So first of all, Lovecraft reminded me of Board Game Crate, which because I haven't got the game yet. Board Game Crate UK. I got my .co.uk. I got my first game, first box from it.
So, why don't you explain to everybody what Board Game Crate is?
Okay, so it's a company or website where you pay a subscription fee, and depending on how much you pay and the frequency you set, you get sent a box with a board game in.
But a surprise one. In this case, you don't know what it is.
Yeah, surprise. You don't know what it is. So basically, when you sign up, you kind of tell them what you've got already, and then they send you out a box at the beginning of the month. And so I got the main game happened to be Elder Sign in my box, which I haven't opened yet, but it was based on Lovecraft, which just reminded me of that. I'm very much looking forward to playing it. Lovecraft very much reminds me of university.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Keep us up to date.
I will. And secondly, it was, I don't know if you saw it, we were thinking of newspaper articles. It was the idea of booklet was my digression, but I saw it online, this article online, probably a couple of weeks ago, about a board game that takes 1500 hours to play.
Oh my God. What game is that?
It's an old game, and I'll put the link on somewhere. It's called it's a war game. So it's the campaign for North Africa, and this person was talking about it how affectionately, but it would take you roughly 1500 hours or 62 days, in other words, to get through.
So when are we going to play this?
It came out in 1979.
No one's finished it yet.
No one's really finished it yet. But it was just really interesting, you know. And then one of the things they talk about is how long it takes you to get through the rule book in the first place. There are 1,600 cardboard chits that you need to
get ready
for the game, and so on and so forth. I'll share the link. But it was just one of those things when you said somebody goes out the room with the rule book. It just reminded me of this, you know, that somebody had invented this. This war game, it's based on World War II. Sorry, James.
I think at some point we'll have to take some time off from our lives, go somewhere, and just play this game on a marathon, the three of us.
Oh, yeah.
Live streaming.
Live streaming it for 62 days. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that would... hugely popular.
Right.
I'm sure that was live stream of three guys reading a rules book.
Yeah.
And one guy.
Well, I'm sure there are worse things to look at. So by contrast, the game I'm bringing to the table, which is on a tablet, but it could be on the table, but I am bringing it on a tablet, is only 8 minutes long. So it's called 8 Minute Empire, and it just fits in perfectly at the moment. I'm just in this crazy period of work, so I haven't had really a lot of time to sit down and play a game, but I saw this on the App Store a couple of weeks ago, and it's called 8 Minute Empire, and it's in the, I guess as a starting point, think of kind of Carcassonne, think of Risk, that idea of building stuff, getting stuff, conquering stuff, beating the people you're with. And essentially, 8 Minute Empire is you have a map of a section of the world. There are different maps. You can, with the app, of course, you can play against, you can go online and play against other people, or you can play against the artificial characters within the game. So the idea is to basically score as many points as possible, and in the risk-like game mechanic, you score points for the countries you occupy or the continents you occupy. But there's also the dynamic of you get points for different resources, so you get the idea. But what makes it 8 minutes is there are basically a set of cards, and each card allows you to do one thing each turn. So maybe it's to move some of your pieces into another country. Maybe it's to kill one of your opponent's pieces. Maybe it's to get some more resources. Maybe it's to build a castle. All of these things impact upon the game. And each turn there are, if I remember rightly, five cards out, and you can only choose one per turn. But the cards also come at a value. So you start off with a number of gold pieces, 10 gold pieces, and each card has a value. So some cards are free, some cards might cost you three pieces, but you might desperately want that card, you know, so you're prepared to pay the money for it. And the game basically lasts for 10 turns. And at the end of 10 turns, whoever has the most countries, whoever has the most resources in points is the winner. And I said before at the beginning, I don't play funny games. And this appeals to me because I love Risk. I love Carcassonne. Mm-hmm. I love those kind of games. And I just like the fact that it's really quick. You can kind of fit it in over a cup of coffee.
So here's my question. How is the AI? Do you play against the AI mostly, or are you playing online?
One of the things I've not liked about the game so far is the online format. I mean, it plays asynchronously. And I've had the game for a couple of weeks now, and I've only successfully got one game going online with it. So I play against the AI. Now, I've got to the point where I'm beginning to beat it I started out on easy to learn the game, obviously, and it didn't take long to beat it.
Yeah.
When you buy the game, you get three maps.
Yeah.
And then you can pay more money to get more maps. So I can beat it on every level on the first map. I'm kind of struggling on difficult against the middle one. So at the moment, so the AI is fairly good. It also depends. I mean, you quickly learn your tactic on it. There's a bit one of the fundamental things on the game as well, basically, is where you are in the rotation. So if you're playing with three players, there's a big difference between going first and going third.
Yeah. Okay.
And that will impact upon your game tactics. But one of the things the AI you can pretty much fool it to never start, which I feel has a great advantage. So I'd never heard of this, and I really just loved the game because it, as I said, it appealed to me. And then I looked online and found that it was actually a board game as well, and it was a Kickstarter game from 2013. So I'm gonna go and find the board game because I think it sounds like it would be a good board game as well. It'd be interesting to see how it is. Different because obviously the card aspect of it is all automatic online with it, so I assume there must be a way of setting up the cards and stuff in the board game that it is slightly different, but I really enjoyed it because it doesn't take as long. Carcassonne doesn't take that long, Risk takes a long time, but I just like the fact you can do it in 8 minutes, and it makes you think. You know, I don't go for fun. I go for cerebral, James. So,
oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was dealing with an intellectual heavyweight.
I play that between Clash of Clans and Hitman. So, there you go. That's fine.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. All right. So, thanks, guys. I think that probably brings us to an end for today. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I'm going to go get back to Hades Star. I think I have a delivery of hydrogen that is waiting.
I think I downloaded Hades Stars, but I haven't actually started it yet.
Oh, well, say goodbye to another little few minutes in the morning.
Yeah, but that's the point. I mean, these things, is it going to, I need that space for Clash of Clans. That's the point. I've got years invested in Clash of Clans.
Well, no, I know this is it. I'm going through those withdrawal symptoms right now, but I don't know. I feel I can come out the other side from my addiction, so think of me, as I'm sure you understand.
Excellent.
Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. If you want to keep up to date with us, then you can find us on Facebook and on Twitter with just do a search for Are You Game or Are You Game Podcast. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you gather your pods. It would help us get the word out. So thanks a lot for listening. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Thank you. All right.
And see you next time.